Everybody got the recording devices up where they need to be. All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to tonight's Thayer City Council meeting. If you'd like to be on the agenda for public participation, or if you have an item that the council needs to decide on, try to get that to the city clerk the Friday before the meeting. That way, we've got to where we're trying to put out a tentative agenda that Friday before. That way the citizens can see what's going on. But the final draft does come out. We have to have it out 24 hours before the meeting. But we try to get a tentative one out on the Friday before, and then the final one will be the Monday. If you would, please, let's stand, and we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance. And then after that, remain standing, and we'll have a prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for letting us come together to discuss the business of the city. Let us all keep in mind that that's what we're here for, and to hopefully to benefit all the citizens of this town. Pray for our mayor and our city employees that are affected by the COVID at this time, and any others that are struggling. Also, we pray for the medical personnel that are watching over those folks. Keep them safe from harm. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe see. Would call the roll.
Mayor Cotham.
Absent.
Alderman King.
Here.
Alderman Toler.
Here.
Alderman McKenzie.
Absent.
Alderman Schultz.
Here.
And with the short people, we still do have a quorum. So, first item is council to approve the consent agenda. Council meeting minutes for Tuesday, December 7th, 2021. Court report for the month of December. Court receipts for December are $3,362. Fire department minutes for the month of December. Fire expense for December for $340. And then the December financial report.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
All right, Dirk makes the motion. I will second it. Is there any other discussion or questions over the consent agenda? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two, council to approve the bills to be paid and bills paid. It should be item two on your tab. For those are the bills out on the table. So the grand total for the bills that everybody will know was $162,423.87.
I forgot to do the claims report.
Glad we don't have to write that out one big check.
I'll make the motion to pay the bills.
All right, Miss Janice makes the motion.
I'll second it.
Dirk seconds. Any other discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Old business, council to discuss future economic development. One of the things that I would like to bring up is a couple of meetings ago, we had made a motion and approved to do an enterprise zone. And after receiving the application on that, there's more to it than just us making the motion and doing that. So it's going to take some collaboration between the school board, the ambulance board, probably the county commissioners, and things of that. And then once we get all those things in line, then we have to have a resolution or ordinance to say that we're going to do that. It also requires a 7-person board, so there's some instructions on how to appoint people to that board, the term limits, and things of that nature. So we got the application back a couple of weeks ago, and after seeing that, it's going to take a little bit more research just to get that actually going than passing a motion in a meeting. So that's where we're at with the enterprise zone. And I believe, Bob or Scott, do you have anything else on what's going on with the incubator building.
You want to talk, right?
Well, go ahead on the incubator.
Right, kind of where we're at, a gentleman named Cody up at SCOCOG, he's kind of, do I stand during this or not? I don't
sure, know.
So you probably still can't see me, it's too short. Yeah. gentleman up from SCOCOG out of West Plains, he's kind of one in charge of this grant that we're going to need to write to get them funding for this manufacturing incubator. Again, Thayer Community Betterment Association has voted the other night. They've agreed to put up $300,000 that they have in funds to go towards this. It's an 80-20 grant, so with that match, it comes up to be about, am I right on that? About $300,000?
Mm-hmm.
It comes out to be about $1.5 million total contribution to the community to go towards a manufacturing incubator, which we've discussed in former meetings what that's involved. Basically, a little bit about how this works. And I wish Cody had been in, he's out this week, I wish I would have been able to talk to him directly. But from what I understand, the city, has to lease that property to a 501c3. The SCOCOG writes up and develops this 501c3. Correct me.
You're on track.
I'm on track, okay. And the city leases the land to the 501c3 for 10 years. Typically the first lease is 10 years. Then SCOCOG, with the grant, applies for the grant. They coordinate the construction of this manufacturing incubator. They've also agreed, Hal Oregon has agreed, to supply somebody to kind of oversee and be the landlord for this incubator. A lot to it as far as helping out interviewing what businesses want to go in there, and kind of playing landlord for that first 10 years. At the end of that 10 years, there's an option the city has to say, okay, we're not going to lease, we want the building, we're going to take over this operation, we'll take the building and the land back, and that the facility will be owned by the city and managed by the city. Or we have the option as a city to say, okay, hey, listen, we want to continue to lease the land for free, SCOCOG will continue to provide somebody to kind of oversee the operation and go forward on that, that route. So we kind of have two options at the end. But basically, it's an opportunity right now for about $1.5 million, for our city to put towards a manufacturing facility. In addition to that, it's just a great time right now with all the other grants to come up with, some infrastructure for that area. Got a lot of other things going on. So it's just kind of a window of opportunity. It does affect the rodeo ring, and that's a big concern of everybody's. It's concerning your guys, concerning us. We have discussed that. I know Michael and I have been in a lot of conversations about some alternatives. Really the biggest key when we talk to somebody that's really gone forward with this in Wisconsin is you got to have a good flat level site. Unfortunately our rodeo arena is right in the most level site. We need about 7 level acres to move forward with it. Otherwise a lot of that money goes towards leveling and prepping the land. And so anyway, that's kind of where we're at on it right now.
Can you give us an example of what might be in that facility?
Sure.
Just an example.
Yeah, they've had a lot of, these facilities up in Wisconsin, they've had, one guy was a chocolatier, he liked making chocolate, his wife loved running a business, so they've grown this thing to an international chocolate business, they ship all over the country. Another one is a manufacturer of hydraulics for naval ships. They make the hydraulics to hoist weapons from the hull up to the top of the ship. Another one is a factory that makes parts for factories. They make the molds that hold all the parts that go through the assembly lines. Another one, I forgot what all they had. There's about 4 or 5 different ones. And it's really amazing. I mean, I thought, who's going to want to do this? There really isn't a market for that anymore, but I'm on a mailing list. The Missouri Department of Economic Development has 2 people. One lady that works with just companies wanting to relocate within the state of Missouri. And another one that wants to work with companies that want to relocate from outside the state into Missouri. And there's people, there's companies all the time, looking for facilities. So it's a little bit of a better opportunity than I initially thought.
Do we have a deadline on when they would maybe want to start doing something like this?
They're going to try to write the grant this month.
Okay. So when do they need a commitment from the city on?
That's something I have to work with Cody on.
Okay.
Yeah, I apologize.
Have they gone over and done an actual site?
I don't know what my problem was. I got kind of nervous here talking for a minute. I don't get nervous, but I got kind of nervous up there.
Have they gone over and done a site survey of the industrial park yet or anything?
No, we've worked at some overhead layouts, okay. Just GoCog, and like an aerial satellite layout of potential, you know, potential lot lines. And basically, other than the area that we'd like to develop for retail, they're kind of where the maintenance sheds are. There are 4 7-acre tracks over there, 2 fairly level ones, then 2 more 7-acre tracks that would be west of the recycling facility on the hillside.
Thank you.
Yeah. Scott, yes. Let me ask, you said there's one of these incubators in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, yeah. There's a gentleman that came down. I don't really know how this program started. But they really moved forward with it in Wisconsin. And there are so many of us that want to go up and see these industrial parks that came out of this. He said, listen, why don't we come down and I'll bring you all the video and aerial views and all the statistics. And he came down and did like a 4 or 5 hour presentation for us.
Mm-hmm. Great, so you've not actually been up and seen the...
No, he brought a lot of videos and films.
Was it just one? Or is there multiples of these?
There's multiples of these. They all start off with one, and then sometimes how this works is at the end of that 10 years, a lot of the tenants will say, hey, listen, this is a perfect facility, we're already here, so we have the option to sell that to them and use that money to build another.
Is the list of locations of incubators in here?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, I think my glasses.
Yeah. They try to do it in like, I believe, what, 2 or 3 different areas up there. The one that's been very successful had a lot of the same characteristics as Thayer. You know, it was on a highway, it was fairly central to 4 or 5 different large cities like we are, Springfield, Jonesboro, Little Rock, St. Louis, Kansas City.
That's why I'm trying to find out the name of the town, just to kind of...
Oh, I forgot the name of the town.
What population base is.
Do you remember what that was?
No.
It was a fairly small town. They weren't... I mean, it wasn't
similar
like...
Similar to Arbol.
Very, very similar. Yeah, very similar in size. But I apologize. I can get that for you. I'll be glad to get that for you.
And guys, don't get me wrong. I'm just being inquisitive.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. No. They were fairly small towns, and that's why they started there, because the economy is really needed to boost. And so it wasn't like a Springfield or a Columbia or...
There's a lot less regulations in a small town.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are the regulations.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And what there are, there's, you know, it's hard to police them with the people we got, so that's just...
I was just wondering what, you know, because it's kind of an interesting... concept.
It is. It really is. And really, I thought it was a neat concept until we came down and saw the videos of like how one plant led to another plant led to another plant. And they're nice looking facilities. My concern when I first heard about it, I thought, you know, what's it going to be like, you know, in this industrial park? It's a very visible area for Thayer. But the facilities that we saw, I thought, looked great. You know, they definitely added to the town.
I'm a little worried about the one. Would you say 1.3 million?
1.5 with what we would have.
As we discussed in earlier city council meetings, you know, $1 million wouldn't build much.
Right.
That's why it was such a great deal to buy the river country, because $1 million wouldn't build much.
Right. For the city to do it, it doesn't. Right. Because the city has to go under prevailing wage. But if the land is leased to somebody else, then they can go do it, and they're not bound by the prevailing wage. So that's the big difference.
Okay.
Yes. And just to give you a cost example of the prevailing wage, when they went to remodel or redo the high school over here, excuse me, it was on the ballot to do away with prevailing wage or something like that. And had that been done away with, there would have been extra money left to where they possibly could have built a new gymnasium over there. So that's just... That's how much cost extra the prevailing wage adds.
Spent 9 years in the school.
You know, still
I mean, guys, don't get me wrong. I'm not harking on nothing. I'm just inquisitive.
Right.
This would be a neat program you ought to put together for.
Yeah.
Community for guys like me.
It's great.
Just
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the, you know, SCOCOG is an organization up there in West Plains. They're kind of an economic development planning commission. I know, like, when I was on the school board for up at Glenwood for years too, when we wanted a tornado shelter, we went through SCOCOG. They wrote the grant, they did the construction, it was done, you know. They really know what they're doing. You know, they know the ins and outs of stuff, but we probably wouldn't know if we did it ourselves, so.
Scott. Thanks, Scott. Mr. Kerr, do you have anything else you want to add to that?
This is a joint effort between Thayer, Howell, Oregon, and Inter County Electric up in Licking.
Oh, right.
And the grant is going to be one grant for all three of us.
Right, but that...
So the counties are looking at is Texas, Howell, and Oregon County to put three buildings in, is that right?
That's correct. Right. They already have sites located for the Howell and Texas County.
Okay. You're getting the grant to do three buildings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
1.5 each building or 1.5 total?
No,
each.
Okay, because there I did the weight prevailing wage or not.
That 4.5 million.
Okay.
And that is federal money, right?
Right.
Is that federal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Economic development.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Eggman, did you have anything?
I appreciate, I know Sam and Scott have been working on that quite a bit on the incubator, and it is what it is. The incubator starts a business, and then that starts another business, and then it just goes. So it's kind of like an incubator that you think of, and that's how it works in that form. So it can generate a lot of manufacturing, a lot of industry in a community over a period of time. It doesn't happen overnight. Am I right on that? That kind of the process of it?
Actually, the building is divided so that there can be four individual operations.
That's good.
The interior partitions are movable.
Yeah.
So that if one person needs more space, they can move the partitions.
So can a business do, can they rotate out of there and then bring somebody else in? In other words, somebody, the incubator, you start like a business and then they move out someplace and then bring another one in. Mm-hmm. Is that the concept?
Yes.
Okay. So it could be good. I'll just update you on a couple more things that are going on. You mentioned the Enterprise Zone, which is one thing that I had on my list here. So there may be some help, Mr. King, from Ann at Missouri Department of Economic Development and or SCOCOG to help in that application process too, so it's not all thrown on you guys, because I know it's a lot of work to put together, and I think they would help. Matter of fact, they said that if you need some help with that, let them know, so that might be something to talk to them about. Let me give you an update a little bit on from Morgan County. David Stubblefield couldn't be here, our presiding commissioner. But the county is working on, which will affect us positively in this area too, on the chicken production. And these would be houses that are going to go into the county. They have 7 approved already. And this is from the company over southeast. And I think the name of it is Vitel or something like that. Does that sound familiar? Vitel or Vital? Anyway, what they do is they approve a site, and a landowner or a property owner could decide to build a chicken production house on their property, and then they could begin to produce eggs. And this Vital, and I think that's right, I'm saying that right, has agreed to buy those eggs from these producers. They already have 7 in Oregon County, and I'm not sure where they are, somewhere in the county, that have been approved, and they are moving the dirt. So it's happening. Now those facilities, to set one up, cost the landowner or the owner of that business $1.5 million. And there's loans that are available for that. It could be through a revolving loan program or something. But there's already 7 that have been approved. They're moving the dirt. So you can calculate that out. 7 times $1.5 million or 1.2, whatever it is. And so we have about $8 million worth of production in its works in Oregon County. Now those chicken producers will, the average net income on those is about $150,000. So if you want to get into that business, there you go. But that's gonna bring a lot of money to this area. And it's not if it's going to happen, it's just when, because it's already happening. And they've approved 7, and there's about 20 people in the county that are interested in this program.
So are they going to be egg facilities, or are they going to also take the chickens to slaughter too?
Well, this is just laying hens.
Just eggs only.
Pico, I think, is in Donovan, or in Pocahontas, Dalton. They actually do the chicken slaughtering, you know, for that.
Other than building that they put one around here, Batesville stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. So this
that sludge that gets on your truck and it stays on there.
Yeah. This is the laying hens.
Okay.
And of course this is in property, you know, out in the county somewhere, so unless you live close to them, you should be in pretty good shape. Now, according to Larry Hirsch, you can take that waste from those chickens and makes pretty good fertilizer. So you may want to consider that as a byproduct as well. But that's going on in the county. Also, David is working with Senator Esslinger's office on the airport out here about getting some grant. And I think, Michael, you were in on some discussion about that. And there's through the community block grant program, there is monies available, grant monies available. They're working on getting some fuel back at the airport upon the city's approval. But there is grant money to make that happen. And also there'd be potential about extending the runway. I think the runway used to be 4,200 feet, and it somehow it got shortened. I don't remember now why that happened.
There's a fence and grown up trees and stuff on the east end of it. So okay. In order to have a safety zone, we had to shorten it up.
Okay. Anyway, so, but I think that David and some of the people have looked at it, and there's a potential on the west side to extend it on out, maybe even get out to 5,000 feet, which would accommodate small jets, which would be good for the incubators and different things that would be potentially coming into this area and or other producers. So that grant money is there, available. Just going to take some work upon the city to make those applications. And it's there, and if we don't get it, somebody else will. But airports are a pretty high priority among it. You may have seen the news about Monette. They got a ton of money in Monette, Missouri for their runway facility. But having fuel is a real key to bringing people into this area.
Their chicken plant up there did pretty well, too.
Yes.
My grandparents from there.
Yeah, exactly. So one thing leads to the other. Also, I was going to update you a little bit on Highway 63. You may have heard the news or read about it or something about Highway 63, but the state, Southeast Region, MoDOT has approved the resurfacing from Highway 19 up here to the state line. So they're going to resurface Highway 63, which needs it pretty bad in a lot of places, especially around the intersections. And so that has been approved, and I'm not sure when they're going to let the bids on that, but I would say pretty soon. And they also, as you know, are going to be improving the intersection down by the clinic down on the state line. They're going to improve that access there to make it wider to accommodate bigger trucks to get into the Mohawk Stockyards when they get in operation there, and also across the street over there at the state line. And so that intersection has already been approved. And also they're going to be improving the intersection on Highway 19 up here by Adams Western, and that's already been approved as well. So a lot of work to come from them, but they're getting some money now from us, the gas pumps, plus some other money. So they're going to be spending it. And David said also that they are looking at a couple of bridges in the county, one of them being the Narrows, one of them being over on Highway 19 somewhere. And you may have heard also the bridge they're going to replace going to West Plains at Brandsville. That was on the news today as well. So there's some positive things happening with MoDOT. We've also been in discussion with them about some accesses along Highway 63. They're looking at some opportunities and potentially, especially if we can get something developed in the industrial park. That would open their eyes, and I think they would work with us if we would, you know, it's kind of like build it and they will come type thing. And I think that they will work with us. They've kind of given us a little verbal, yeah, we'll work with you type thing. and maybe that intersection there by Dairy Queen, and then maybe even a potential new access on down a little bit, or at least a right-in, right-out. So some things, positive things are happening with that as well. Now, the other thing that I was going to mention is about the industrial park that Scott mentioned a moment ago. Scott has been working with SCOCOG about developing some maps of the park to set up, you know, I think everybody in this meeting and previous meetings says, let's say get a plan. We need a plan. What are we going to do with the industrial park? So we're working up some potential maps of some things that could be, you know, relocated, some things that could be moved around. Where would we put the incubator? Where would we put the rodeo arena and the truck pulls and all these different things in the industrial park? I think probably what we need to know from the city standpoint is if we can get some of these things going, whether it be the incubator, whether it be a travel center, some retail, something or another. And there are a couple of travel centers that are somewhat interested in the area behind O'Reilly's over there. But I think the obstacle are the maintenance sheds, you know. So I guess my question is, if we can get some of these things going, and we could get the incubator, and we could get MoDOT kind of interested, you know, would the city be willing to work with us as economic development to maybe potentially move those sheds somewhere where we could open that up over there? I guess that's a question I'd like to throw out for you guys to consider. So, and I think that's about it. Like I said, there's been discussion with a couple of travel centers. Of course, we know MoArc they are working on that. I've been in contact with them on a couple of two, three times a month, and they are progressing along with the stockyards. State Line, as you know, is coming along. It's just been a supply issue problem. And then, like I said, these maps, we're getting these maps together, and that will at least give us a starting point. You know, if we say, well, what if we plug this here? What if we plug this here? Then at least give us a starting point. Then we can sit down as a group and say, no, it'd be better if we did this and do this and move things around. But at least look at the land and see how we can best utilize it and best economically for the city. So anyway, that's all I've got. But I would like to maybe challenge some discussion about the maintenance sheds.
Thank you. All right. Number four of old business, council to discuss the future location of the fitness equipment obtained with the BNSF grant funds. There's a letter from Ms. Pace in our packets, and we've been discussing this the last 3 months. She says in her letter that we received a grant of $7,000 from BNSF to purchase a fitness course for one of the parks. At the last meeting, we were trying to figure out which park we were going to put that in. However, since the time that she initially wrote the grant and received the funds, the company that was manufacturing those pieces have discontinued those types of pieces. They do, however, have an upgraded version of this stuff that seems to be more better. It's for youth and adults and includes signage, which illustrates what you're supposed to do on the equipment. They are offering an $1,800 discount, which would make the total $921 more than what the BNSF grant is. After talking at the last meeting, some of the questions the council had over the park equipment is where are we going to place it? It does not need to be in Warm Fork Park. So because it floods, this equipment's not going to last to the flooding. We do not have it yet. As you can see per this letter, the city employees would be responsible for installing it. And I believe that was about it on the questions we had. So we really need to decide where we want to put it, either at Sherwood Park, which is over at the tennis courts, or do we want to try to expand the stuff over on Spruce Street and put it there.
8th and Spruce?
8th
Street Park.
Yeah, 8th and, yeah.
Equipment, is it kind of portable? Like if they put it in,
no.
Are they going to concrete it in?
Yeah, it's in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it won't, and the reason is if you look on some of these pages, the activities that are going to be going on are pretty strenuous. Like one of them's doing some push-ups on a bar, another one's doing some kind of rope pull, and then a step up in like a balance beam or something of that nature. So,
have you heard how that? Is there going to be any maybe vandalism or anything at the park up by the pool?
We were talking about putting in bigger floodlights.
That's where all kids like hanging out, and I didn't know if this stuff's tough.
The issue we had was it being so dark and putting cameras on there, we wouldn't be able to see anything, so we figured the lights were the first issue we needed to tackle.
We're working on that. We'll get the lights.
I'm getting bids for big floodlights. That way, one light will cover more than putting up a bunch of small lights.
So it looks like in the packet, Dirk, if you'll turn over, it looks like there's only two of these things, and it gives you a product description. Yeah. One of them is a pulling back angle bar and hurdler exercise. But it's similar. I don't know if you've seen the stuff down at the City Park in Mammoth. This is pretty similar stuff to what they have. I know we don't have much at the 8th Street Park. We just have the...
Can you guys hear us okay?
Swing set.
Better than yeah. I mean.
We just have a swing set at the 8th Street Park, so.
Is it lit? Is it something?
No,
that,
it's
dark.
Is
it maintained? But as nice as the other two parks?
No, it's not. It just has a swing set, no lighting, but it is there by the that RV park.
Yeah.
You know, so people staying at that RV park have access to that stuff if they have kids with them and things.
That'd be easy to get to for people who don't have to cross the highway.
Right.
Well, a swing set ain't much for a park.
No.
There needs to be more family stuff in town for people to take their kids to go do.
Yeah.
Bowling's gone, all that other stuff.
Well,
gone.
The park, the Warm Fork Park is so hard to get to. I think it is. So what can we do about that? Yeah.
After they close the tracks.
So, what do you think, Janice, about where we want to put it? Sounds like that one in town needs more.
We want to make sure that we put it someplace that, since we're working with the development of the industrial, we need to be sure we don't put it someplace that we'd have to
move it.
That's why I asked if it was kind of portable. If it's going to get concrete in, we're just going to
run it. Portable.
No, it's probably the 8th Street Park would be the best bet for it.
I think so, too.
I think it would be.
Well, I'm going to make the motion to have it installed at the 8th Street Park.
Okay.
And also to spend the extra $931 to cover the amount over the grant.
Do you want to kind of look into a couple more things to put in that park? I mean, like, if we're going to put that in there, we could, like, look at, you know, like a merry-go-round.
We can do that later. But
yeah, I was just letting you see if you want me to do something like that.
Yeah, that'd be good. For the most part, we've been talking about this for a while, so we need to.
Yes, for sure.
Hold on, I'll second that.
All right, Dirk is second. Any other questions or discussion?
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right, public participation. Item 5 on the agenda. Dana Hauser to propose a weekend food pantry to the council.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
What do you have for us?
Well, you know, there's a food pantry. I think it's the first Thursday every month. And then there's one on a Wednesday of the month. But what about the people in the county that work during the week, that can't feed their families, that are only off on the weekends? So I wanted to propose to the city, how about opening a food pantry for like the third Saturday or even Sunday, maybe Saturday from 11 to 2 or Sunday from 2 to 4. And I have a gentleman that is a retired vet that was in Salem. His name is Kevin Miller, that offered to donate $20,000 of money towards this cause. And this is something that I'm not real familiar with. I'm not experienced with this, but I, as a person that has lived off a disability for 24 years, understand about having to depend on the food pantry. And I just think that the people that can't take care of their families, you know, that work, that need to be able to get to the food pantry on the weekend, mm-hmm. I think it would be a good opportunity. And maybe we could have a food drive. And my daughter, who her name is also Chef, she lives in Salem. She's experienced with those type things, and she offered to come here and organize that. So, I mean, it's a process, and it's going to take time, of course, but I just wanted to bring it before the city and propose it to you and see how you felt about it.
Well, currently we don't have any, we don't have our own food pantry. I believe those are ran through other outlet deals or through other missions.
Yes.
I am familiar with the one that's up at the old elementary school, but that might be something to check with them to see if they would open, you know, different hours of the day. And then even this one on Front Street, the Life 360, they have started providing meals to, like, the elementary schools and things like that.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay. Yeah, they're, so the old Engel Hotel right here on Front Street,
uh-huh.
They're, whenever you see a van parked out front there, that's usually uh-huh. when they're there.
Okay.
And that might be something, if you've got an amount of money to donate, they would probably be able to take that money and help utilize it a lot better.
Probably so,
stuff and maybe
rather than individual like
right.
me. But it was just a suggestion, and of course Dana here, that's me, Dana. Mm-hmm. I have a brainstorm, and I had to bring it before y'all or somebody that could maybe guide me in the right direction.
Okay. Well, we've got your information here, so if we, I'll reach out to the one over at the elementary school and see what kind of program they have and what they can do going forward, and probably have them get in contact with you, especially if someone's going to want to donate some money to do something
yes,
like that.
Yes, he said he would have his money in March.
Okay.
So, just, you have my phone number.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thank you.
Are you on the agenda again for the Double Dues painting?
Is that yes, me okay. and my husband.
All right, well, we'll just go ahead and let you, we'll move to number 8 then.
Yeah.
And council review business application submitted by Double Dues Painting.
This is my husband.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is Mervin. He goes by Pop. Everybody in town knows him by Pop. And Pop and I have been painting for 45 years, and we came to a fair here about 5 months ago by reason of a friend of ours, Jackie Rutter, is a real estate investor, mm-hmm. and she needed someone to do restoration on her houses, and we have been doing that, and we have found that we really enjoy what we do, and we love the city here, and we want to open a business here to contribute to painting homes. There's a lot of homes here that need painting, mm-hmm. and some houses that do need restoration. We are not going to do commercial work, just residential. And we live at 111 Chestnut, and we'd like to open a storefront. We were going to take dividers, because we live there, mm-hmm. dividers and divide it up and put just a small office in the front, display some painting samples or cans and buckets of paint and pictures of our work. And this is what we have to offer.
I believe before we can issue the license, we have to have a sales tax. They have to have a sales tax and register with the state of Missouri. Is that
Okay, well, I got my EIN number.
Okay.
I have I sent in for the fictitious name, and I didn't have his address, which is my address, you know, but I had to reissue that, and so I called them today, and I had to resend that back in. And I also, the LLC, we sent that in today. We've been very busy trying to get all this together. It's kind of crazy and monotonous and everything right now. But you have to forgive me, I have a brain tumor. So, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. We are from Louisiana.
Well, welcome to the area.
Thank you. We really love it here. And we, whatever else we need, I know that we need to get a business license here in the city. But maybe you can direct me to more.
Well, that's, I believe that's what this is. Yeah, this is what that would cover right here. So is this good enough to qualify them for the, what we need on here? Is there something else that they're going to have?
Do we have to have a permit to put a sign up or put it in the window of the business?
This is, we need a Missouri sales tax number from the state of Missouri.
Okay. I'll have to contact
them.
That's
just the federal,
then. That's the federal.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe you're going to need a...
Yeah, so until we can, until we have that, then we can't move forward with the license or anything. With
okay,
the
so
license.
I have to contact the Secretary of State?
Missouri Department of Revenue.
Department of Revenue. Yes. That's where I'm missing something.
Yes.
Okay, I'll contact them tomorrow.
They'll send you, when you get it all, they'll send you a paper that has the seal of the state of Missouri in the middle of it, and your number across it should be about 8 numbers there on it.
Okay, so I just bring it back up here.
Yeah,
okay,
and then we'll.
Yes,
I'll take it.
Okay.
And you'll also need workers' compensation insurance, too.
Yeah. The employment office contacted us, and we just got that yesterday. So
okay.
I've got to call them. And
it's residential.
If we want to hire someone,
yeah.
We have had people. We put an ad in the paper just to see what kind of contact would we get, and we've had a couple of people call us from like Horseshoe Bend,
yes,
want to work, but I think one is hireable, but the other is not because he's convicted felon.
Okay.
Because robbery.
Okay.
We can't hire someone that's
no.
Robbery or theft.
So, yeah, if you just get that form into me and I'll get it to them and we'll go from there.
Okay, and you're in this office?
Yes, I'm in the
okay.
Every day from
okay.
8 to 4:30.
All right, cool.
You can write it down so we can give us a form that whatever we need.
Who are y'all renting from?
Jackie Rutter.
Okay.
I have a scrap piece of paper.
I have her phone number in my phone. It's a townhouse.
It's a townhouse.
But it's a business. It's commercial.
Thank you, sir.
It's commercial property.
It's right.
It's in between Missouri News and H&R Block.
No jewelry.
Oh, the jewelry store.
Used to be a jewelry store. Used to be a pool
okay,
hall.
Okay, that is a commercial area.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So then all they need is that and then Brent.
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, just
okay.
Give Brent that information and then she'll be able to move forward with the business.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I was a nervous wreck coming in here. I didn't know what to expect.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 6, council to discuss purchasing overhead door openers for electric/water department building. Total will be $1,300 per department.
As in $2,600?
Yes, and that's all for all 4 doors.
What's wrong with the ones we got? Are they not electric or what?
They're manual.
They're manual.
What happens when the power goes out? we can't get our electric trucks out.
We should be able to disconnect them.
Well, they're manual. They got a fuel screen on them. Okay. We made sure that.
As long as there's backup plans.
If not, I can drive through it.
No doors on my shop. And when the car goes out, I got to figure out how to shut the doors at 5.
Oh, no. It's got a string. You pull it. You lift it up just like the normal wood. And then,
okay.
Well, I moved to purchase for $2,600.
Because we're going to do all the wiring in the building ourselves for all the plug-ins up top. So.
I'll second.
Ms. Janice seconds. Any questions or other discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Number 7, council to approve the purchase of 2 material handler jib heads and 2 single-phase wire holders. Total will be $1,585.26.
And that is for the electric?
Yes, sir. That's just that for the electric department, but
it's all right.
I missed that. Scott, you want to tell them what that is?
You basically strap it to the pole and it holds it out of the way so we can set a new one and have everybody doing something else since there's only 3 of us. Have 2 people on the ground. You got one on the truck, one running this, and the other one running above the pole. So instead of having a guy sitting up there holding the wire out of the way, it holds it out of the way for you once he goes up there, and then he can get out and help do everything else. That's why they bought the 3-phase ones, but they already had those, so now we have extras.
All right, I move to purchase the handler and the single-phase wire holders.
I'll second.
Motion to second. Any other discussion or questions? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Dirk, how did you vote?
I meant to say,
yeah,
I was reading on.
All right, number 9, council discussed the bid submitted by Tucker Hargrove.
Okay, so if you guys remember a few months back, Tucker and his mom came in, and their house
got sewer backed up.
I'm having trouble getting the state to release the funds to them. So I was wanting to know if I could go ahead and give them the amount so they can get their house fixed, and then I bill the state instead of them.
The state's still going to give us the money?
Joe Heberle said it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Okay.
Because they'll come from the CDBG grant that was paying for the sewer grant anyway.
What do we have to do? Redo their floors and stuff?
There's some...
Tab 9?
Yeah, Tab 9 is the... bid.
If you can read it.
Waterproof Armstrong flooring for an install or tax.
$1,000.
Yes. And we got it in our building budget. And it'll come back to the city.
We should go ahead and take care of it so they don't have to keep waiting. Did they already pay for it and they're just wanting reimbursed, or are they waiting to get the repairs
done? I think they're waiting to get the repairs done until they get the money.
Okay.
You want to make that a motion, Dirk?
I will make that a motion. Take care of us.
I'll second it. Any other discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Number 10, council to discuss implementing the front desk solution by G-Works.
Okay, so this implementation of front desk will make online payments and our virtual terminals way more user-friendly. There's even an option to do a personalized domain mapping with our own website. This is going to take out... like uploading internet payments, it'll just go directly, and people can schedule automatic bill pay too with their debit and credit cards where they're not available to right now. And we already spend $3,000 a year for that, for not having that, but having the ability to do online payments. So we'll get that $3,000 back credited. And the professional onboarding fee for the $300 to start for, I think it's, going to be it's the second onboarding option. It says it's $3,000, but they said they can credit it or they can take that out and make it $1,800. And there's a lot more services offered with that. And before like six months to a year is over, I'll be able to put all of our public information, like ordinance book, and we can edit it ourselves, and like the minutes and all that, onto this website as well.
Would we be able to send out any type of text alerts or mass messages about things?
Not only would we be able to send out SMS alerts to people that are signed up, they could send in 311 requests to us if we pay the little extra on that. It could go both ways.
Okay. How does that monitor once they send it out? Like, say it was after business hours, would it just be the next day, or would it?
It would almost have to be unless we set it up on a mobile app. I'm not sure if Front Desk is offered on a mobile app yet, but.
So which one are you wanting to get here?
I would like to do the $300 to start for the $3,000 onboarding fee, which would be $1,800. And if we did the domain...
That's 300 users, is that what you're starting
off with? Yeah, 300 users. I think for now that would be... That's usually about how many people we have pay online. And then I would like to do the personalized domain mapping, which the professional onboarding fee for that's $4,000, but with what we're getting back with the online payments now, it would almost cover that whole $4,000 fee.
Does that restrict us to only 300 people that would be able to receive...
We can always add. Okay. We can always add.
Right now, if someone wants to pay online, they call you and give them
the credit card
number, and you guys do it?
Well, they have a pay by phone, then we have an internet pay, and credit cards in person. And then Forte charges 2.5% of each purchase, and then there's a minimum there. And this would cut out. Forte would still be the collection service, but it would be with the Front Desk and Forte would work together, and there would no longer be a middleman, and that's why you can set up the auto pay and stuff like that.
It'd be a lot more user-friendly.
A lot more user-friendly.
Because the one we have now is not.
And then, also, yeah. The people that sign up for it, they can also go paperless billing, and that will save us money on the mail and printing bills in itself. If they want to. I mean, it doesn't make it mandatory. They can opt in and opt out. But it's about 60 cents per month per user.
So you won't be sending bills anymore to those people?
No, if they don't want us to. Like I said, they can opt out.
Well, that saved the city.
Yes.
Sending that out, wouldn't it? It's
yes.
About 60 cents.
They would just get a text message notification of how much their bill was, and they would be ready to pay.
Mm-hmm. So what is the total we need to approve? Is it?
It was 5,800 would be the onboarding costs, and then the yearly costs would be... 3,060, which right now our yearly cost for Forte payments is around 3,000. So it's about $60 more for a yearly fee. And then if you take off the 5,800,
so you just need the 5,800 approval tonight.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I've moved to approve the $5,800 to move forward with the Front Desk Solutions by G-Works.
I'll second that.
Second. Motion and a second. Any other questions or discussion?
What was the yearly amount after the initial?
3,060.
All right. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
The opposed? All right. Motion carries. Council to pass Resolution 247, Employee Emergency Leave and Pay. And that is tab number 11. And this is a carryover from last meeting where we wanted to carry through with some type of compensation for employees that may receive some type of emergency where they are out of work for an extended period of time. I'll go ahead and read the resolution. Resolution number 247, Employee Emergency Leave and Pay. A resolution adopting a policy that covers 12 weeks emergency leave with 2/3 pay for employees that are experiencing an emergency situation. Be it resolved by the City Council, the City of Thayer, Oregon County, Missouri as follows. Employee emergency leave and pay. Number one, an employee that is suffering from emergency event and is unable to perform their duties will be granted 12 weeks of emergency leave. During the number two, during the 12-week period, the employee shall receive 2/3 of their standard pay. Number three, the emergency leave and pay does not go into effect until all paid time off and donated time from other employees is exhausted. Number four, it will be at the discretion of the council as to what qualifies an employee to receive emergency leave. This resolution will go into effect effective on the date passage and will not have a termination date passed by the City Council of Thayer, Missouri, if we approve it. Today's date, January 2022.
I'll make a motion that we approve it.
Dirk makes the motion.
I second.
Ms. Janice seconds. Any other questions or discussion over this? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution passes. And last, number 12. General or council to discuss general business.
I forgot to discuss this. I'm sorry. The typo.
To discuss any general of you business. All have anything you need to bring before the council? Or
what do we ever do about the auctioning? Anything?
My, the person I'm working with on that is on leave right now.
I think the auction they was currently one going and we're waiting for it to end before we can.
Yes, and that's that as well. We're kind of waiting.
Yeah.
Was it last a month or something? Or?
I don't know how long.
He had a big auction coming up in January. It should be hopefully clear by February. It's just how it works out with the leave situation. But he did say that he had a huge auction in January.
Probably make more money later on anyway, being after Christmas and all.
Yeah, first year.
Yeah.
What about the the employee clothes from CentOS uniforms?
That's over in April.
Okay. Have we had a chance to talk to the employees to see how many of them were utilizing that stuff or?
All the election department was utilizing CentOS.
They have to, don't they?
Yeah, for FR.
Yeah.
And then all the water department gets their jeans and stuff through CentOS. I mean, every department does use some service.
Okay.
I think it'd be better if we had an amount put in an account. That's our last company did. We got to pick what we wanted off of the website. And then, like, these pants, they're thin, more comfortable, because that stuff they give you, it's just thick and hot all year round.
And that's it. That's another thing. All the departments would also like to have a uniform budget instead of going through CentOS. If, you know, that's a...
Right, okay.
Just buy their own stuff from, Walmart or something?
Yeah, just wherever they see fit, up to a certain amount.
Because FR stuff, it costs more than a lot of other stuff too. When you take a t-shirt, put FR on it, it's about 30, 40, 50 bucks more.
Even the CentOS clothes are more with that.
Well, you don't have to wash them.
That is true.
I'd rather wash my own stuff because I don't want to bring the right stuff back.
My son will ruin the washer.
But I'd still like to get at least Aeromark, another bid or something. You know, just have multiple options on the table besides just stick with
CentOS. I'm with that company and they do not know what they're doing.
Well, maybe not Aeromark then.
So, what about the health insurance? Does the gentleman come in tomorrow?
Yes, at 1 p.m. Steve, he was going to come early, mm-hmm. but we didn't know if we could get everybody here. But so, Merma Health Insurance will be here at 1 p.m. to talk to us tomorrow. There's a lot of employees that aren't happy with it, and I'm working on a different insurance provider for the future. And but he's going to come and talk to us at 1 p.m. tomorrow, whoever wants to come.
Clear up some of the problems that everybody's having with Merma.
Mm-hmm. It's basically just coverage for especially the people in Arkansas. Because if you go south of where we're at, especially Mountain Home, I mean, they do good in Mountain Home, but anywhere southern than that, it's hard to find any kind of coverage from Irma.
I know they're in trouble with Brett, don't they?
They were. I think they got it kind of straightened out, though.
All right, well, if there's nothing else, Ms. Dance, you got anything?
Yeah, I got one thing. I had a call from Mr. Steve Offord at 412 West Walnut, and he said his bill had doubled in the last 2 months, and he wondered if we could check his meter out. Do you know anything about that?
He was in here yesterday. Yeah, it was just the electric that jumped. He was in here yesterday, and when Deb kind of studied his account, the last couple of Februaries, the electric was about the same. I don't know what was using it, but something, I mean, last month was fine, and this month jumped like it had before, but it wasn't an uncommon bill for Steve. It doesn't happen a lot, but it's happened like 3 or 4 times in the past 2 years, so.
Are you talking about that is the RV park?
No, that's on the
house.
House.
This Steve Offord, not Greg. But we can look into it for sure and then keep track of it. If it keeps being a problem, we'll...
Let's do that.
I have another one right now I'm working with on Monroe that's having trouble.
Okay.
Anything else? Dirt?
That's all.
I think mine went up because of my Christmas lights.
Yeah. You must be using the old bulbs.
Yep.
Hot. All right, well, if nothing else, entertain a motion to go into closed session.
Do you need a motion?
I need one.
I'll make the motion.
All right.
Second.
All right, motion and a second to go into closed session. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, folks, if you'll vacate the room for a while, I don't think we have much in closed session, do we? So.
No, sir.
You want to stick around for a couple hours, you're welcome to.
To get a hold of me and I'll come up here and really
care. Thanks, sir.
Oh, sure, you won't take any candy from me, but you know.
Well, so you're around.